The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Monday morning, the 14th of October, 2019. It's 4 minutes past nine, and we're going to be with you till 10 a.m. If you're in this part of the country, in this side of town, you'll know that it's cats and dogs. It's intensely monsoony. But what did you expect? And other than that, all is well. So if you can afford the opportunity to yourself to treat yourself to one of those lazy days in, today would be a good idea. Just to say, no, I don't really fancy facing any of it or any of them. And therefore, I'm going to stay in and watch something, preferably with maybe Catherine Hepburn in it, or Audrey Hepburn, or Spencer Tracy. That's what I would do if I didn't want to leave the house today. But thankfully, I did. A busy day today. I'm looking forward to getting stuck into it, which is what we're going to do right now. So what I watched over the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed, apart from the rugby on Saturday morning, which I had wonderfully recorded, and then watched it in real time, but in my own time, which is quite self-indulgent, but absolutely marvellous, and that was great. I also watched, as the weekend went by, Raised by the Village, which is on a Sunday night on RT1 TV, and was on, I had one recorded from before. And it is, I remember when they did a once-off of it, a kind of pilot version of it, a couple of years ago, and I was raving about it here, because I loved it. If you haven't seen it, I would urge you to go and watch it back, because what it does is it takes it, just if you don't know what it is really quickly, it takes a couple of kids per episode who are probably 15, 16. They're described as quote unquote troubled, and they're sent to a family in a rural part of Ireland where they're given a week to pretty much go without their phone, get stuck into their family, like Irish College, but stuck into the family, feed the goats, help in the local village fair, all these kind of wholesome things that you'd hope that would benefit the kids in question. And then the psychologist comes in, talks to the parents of the kids and says, well, you kind of need to be doing a bit of lifting yourself. And talks to the kids about how the week went. And then the children return home to their homes in wherever, what part of the country it might be, Dublin, Dundalk, wherever. But it's a very heart-lifting programme, and it's a very heartening programme, because, but also it always moves me. I find it I get very emotionally engaged with the programme to the point that I nearly have a tear, but I don't, because men don't cry. No, I'm a joke. But no, it just brings you to the brink, I think, because you think sometimes some kids just got the wrong numbers lottery-wise in life, and just they're born into really good, loving families, but just the path doesn't go their way. It's not fair. And that's another thing about it. It's kids, that affects kids from all backgrounds, from all counties, from in all countries. That's just childhood. You just get hit with the wrong numbers, and you just, you're good, the goodness is in them. And that's the loveliness of this program, because really when they, about 2 days into their life on the farm, wherever they might be, that goodness emerges, and you can see actually they're only children. And they're kind of hardened by experience, hardened by life, hardened by tough things that might have happened to them. But they're just gorgeous creatures that need to be harnessed and nurtured. And by the end of the show, and by the end of the week they've had, there's a kindness about the place. And even the parents, or they return home, the mum or the dad or both, whatever it might be, they're delighted to see them, and they've transformed. Anyway, so I'm kind of banging on about it only because I just think it's gorgeous television, and it's really well made and really well cast. And if you haven't seen it, it's called Raised by the Village. I know there's another one on next week because they did a fast forward to next week, but it's lovely, and it's quite a nice thing to watch with your own kids, if you know what I mean, because you get a sense of family and fortune and misfortune, whatever it might be. It's nice. It's a nice talking point, all told. So that's Raised by the Village. That gets the thumbs up from me anyway, for what it's worth. Rob's been on already. Ryan, yes. Never mind staying indoors. I just had a swim in the sea. Lashing rain, all great. I admire that, actually. I think anyone who gets into the sea, kind of at any time, but certainly on a day like today in this part of the country, that's pretty impressive, Rob. So you're entitled to have a little boasting there about your daring do. Good work. I did finish a book over the weekend. I was glad I got a good run at it, which was called Where the Crawdads Sing. And if you haven't read it, it's a very beautiful book. I wasn't sure at first because I didn't know if I had the patience for it. It's a little on the slower side because it's a beautiful novel. However, I did get into it then eventually, and it's set in kind of North Carolina. I think it starts off in the 50s, and a little girl, she's called the Marsh Girl. She lives in a shack, and something happens, you know, as can happen. So while there is there's a sort of a thriller element to it, although albeit small element. The rest of it is very beautiful, about the sea and the seagulls and the marsh and the nature. And it's very gorgeous in that sense. And the pictures were drawn so well by the author in my head that I got quite lost in a place I've never been before. So that's pretty impressive. I've never been to North Carolina. I've never been on the marshes. I was on one of those little boats near Hurricane Katrina, long after the hurricane, was still saw the after effects. They were going, so I had a sense of it a little bit from that trip to New Orleans I've mentioned before. But lovely book, and I'm so glad I stuck with it because it was very, very, very nice, very zen. That's what I would say about that book. Where the Crawdads Sing is the name of that. If you haven't seen it, that's where you want to go if you like a little bit of lovely nature and peace in your life, but with a good yarn all the way behind it. Good stuff. And in fact, it was some of you guys listening in recommended and said, you've got to read it. So I did. I went out and bought it. And that's a yes from me as well. So there's two positive recommendations for you this Monday morning. Raised by the Village is the best TV ever, says Kay in Galway. Yeah, you're getting it. So that's great. Has the world gone mad? SpongeBob SquarePants, we're moving around here, but that's what we do, is probably one of my favourite cartoons I've ever seen. I mean, you know, it's just so, like these cartoons, Adventure Time, Regular Show, these are cartoons that are so off their bin, like they're meant, like they're just got to have all this kind of wonderful imagination and craziness that if you watch them with any seriousness, like to study them, you'd wonder, is the world gone mad? But sure enough, Professor Holly Barker has done just that. And she's at the University of Washington. And she's been watching, if you haven't seen SpongeBob SquarePants, I won't say you haven't lived, because clearly you have, but you have to have a look at it just to see the beautiful madness of it. But Professor Holly Barker has decided that SpongeBob SquarePants normalizes the colonization of indigenous lands. And she wrote that SpongeBob SquarePants and his friends play a role in normalizing the settler colonial takings of indigenous lands while erasing the ancestral Bikinian people from their non-fictional homeland. Now, I must say, I did go to the end of this article and say, please tell me that she's taken, like, that is a joke. But no, she goes on. The character SpongeBob is, well, if you don't know, he's a friendly sea sponge who lives in a pineapple under the sea among the other residents of a town called Bikini Bottom. And Professor Barker believes that this is a reference to the real-life Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean, natives of which were relocated in 1946, so the US military could use the area for nuclear testing during the Cold War. So she believed that as an American character allowed to inhabit an area that natives had no choice but to leave, SpongeBob showed his privilege of not caring about the detonation of nuclear bombs. She also points out that the cultural appropriation of Pacific culture in SpongeBob SquarePants, with Hawaiian-style shirts, homes in the shapes of pineapples, tikis and Easter Island heads, and the sounds of a steel guitar perpetuating stereotypes of the region. Well, now, could you imagine the crack in her house on a Saturday morning? What? Looking at the bland screen saying, don't turn it on, everything is offensive. Moving on. I don't want to sound like kind of moaning or anything like that, but I'm one of those people in life, and I think when you're listening in this morning, you're going to say you're either one or the other. If you're a walker, you're either a fast walker or a slow walker. I've never met anyone who's a medium walker. They go fast or go slow. I'm a fast walker. Walk fast, talk fast, think fast, go fast. That's it. I like to walk. I like walking fast. And I find it very, I get full Larry David if somebody's in front of me walking a bit slow, and I'm kind of, and then I tend to veer left to see if I can get past them, and then they go veer left at the exact same time, strangely. I don't know how it happens. It's cosmic. But you just keep going. But there was a report over the weekend that was sent to me by a number of people who said, you know, you're fast walking. And yes. And it said that how fast people walk in their 40s, now I tick both of these boxes, I walk and I'm in my 40s, is a sign of how much their brains as well as their bodies are aging. Now the reason I'm giving you this information is because I come out very well of it. Anyone who's in their 40s and walks fast is going to love this article. The rest of you might get a little bit depressed, but let's keep going together. Let's take my hand. We're going to do this, but not you. You'd walk too fast. You don't walk fast enough. You. Yeah, let's go. Now, here we go. Using a simple test of gait speed, researchers were able to measure the aging process. And not only were slower walkers' bodies aging more quickly, slow walk, age quick, their faces looked older, and slow walkers, they had smaller brains. Now, we are ruling out anyone who is not in a position to walk fast or not walk enough. This is not meant to be some sort of offensive survey. This is simply a survey for people who are in a position to walk at any speed in their lives. Slower walking speeds in old age have also been linked to a higher risk of dementia and decline. In general, the slower walkers tended to show signs of accelerated aging with their lungs, teeth and immune system in worse shape than those who walked faster. I'll leave that there with you. Speed up. If you can, speed up. In reference, says Bill in Kilmessan to New Orleans, I was there on holiday 3 weeks prior to Hurricane Katrina and I loved it. It's our favourite city and I'm going back next year. There were parts of the place that were absolutely beautiful. I found the city itself a little Temple Bar-y. But yeah, I was a little underwhelmed by that bit of it. But lovely people. And as I say, in and around it, great history and worth a visit for sure. And somebody else just started Where the Crawdads Sing, and I love it. Great, we're all agreeing there, which is great. I've got a very cheeky preview copy of a book, and it is the you know, our friend who wrote the, now of course it's suddenly got it out of my mind, the one where the hunting party. The one I was raving on about, that not everyone liked, by the way. I know that before you go in and go, I hated that. I know, but a lot of people loved it. And I loved it. But they sent me her new one, which won't be out for a little while. I'll come back to you on that, but I started it last night, and so far so good. For some weird reason, Lucy Foley is the name of the author I was thinking of. Thank you so much. For some weird reason, something happened in this country in the early 90s where everyone around the place started watching Neighbours. I don't know how, but it became a thing. Neighbours, the Australian TV show. So it suddenly became this thing where lunchtime, you couldn't record it, obviously, unless maybe videotape it or something. But you got to get home at lunch. You got to watch it. And what, there was a phase I went through at one point, lashing home with packets of King Crisp cheese and onion, fresh small sliced pan of Brennan's, and delighted with myself. Probably a glass of my waddy and Neighbours. It must have been about 2 or 3 years. Anyway, the man who created Neighbours has died at the age of 93, and his name is Reg Watson. And if you haven't seen it, it's set in a fictional street called Ramsay Street and is Australia's all-time longest-running drama, due to celebrate its 35th year in 2020. This gentleman was born in Queensland, moved to the UK in 1955 and helped create a television show called, some of you watched it, I didn't, Crossroads. And he was then headhunted in Australia back home to establish a new drama department for Grundy Television. He also helped create Prisoner Cell Block H, The Young Doctors and Sons and Daughters, all sick tunes and names of programmes I never watched but I'm sort of weirdly familiar with. But Neighbours has launched the careers of people such as Kylie Minogue, Margot Robbie, who we all love, Holly Valance, and Jason Donovan. So there you are. Such was the part. Hey, honourable mention to Reese McClanahan, by the way, lest I forget. He created history over the weekend as he became the first Irish gymnast to medal at the world medal to medal at the world. That's funny. Yeah, M-E-D-A-L, obviously, at the World Championships after claiming a bronze medal in the pommel horse in Stuttgart. He was on with us on the Late Late Show some years ago, but this is RT.ie report I saw over the weekend. It's great news. He booked a berth in the event at the 2020 Olympic Games by qualifying for the final earlier in the week. It's great news. Congratulations, Reese, and more of that. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy's voice of Marvin the Paranoid Android, Stephen Moore, has died aged 81. Now, that means nothing to me because I didn't get into Hitchhiker's Guide. I know a lot of people did, but it wasn't one for me. But I knew him as Adrian Mole's dad on the TV show, of course. And he was also Harry Enfield's dad when he was the grumpy teenager, Kevin. No! That guy. Great stuff. Loved it. And good actor. And he passed away at the weekend, just so you know. Mary says, the Brendan Gray show, Forget Me Nots, was also very good last night. Very emotional. Great night for television. And then Dermot Bannon. Yeah, there's great stuff happening on TV. And Brendan Gray's being beautifully remembered and appropriately there on that TV programme, and it's been running for a couple of parts, or two or three parts, which is great. And Bannon, the unstoppable force of nature. I just think what he does to houses is beautiful. I think he's tremendous at what he does. It's a great programme. We love it in our house, and congratulations. That's finished. That's over now. I think it's six episodes, I see, and he's gone. And we're into Frances Brennan next week, which is exciting. On the cruise, I saw the ad for it last night. It looks tremendous. So we'll have, I might have a little preview look at that and come back to you and give you the love. There was something Christmassy about the place this weekend, which I thought was really nice. I know it's a bit early, but I just love it too much. And Bing Crosby's family hope that his most famous hit, White Christmas, can finally top the charts over 40 years after his death, because they've re-recorded this the song, and his vocals have been set to an arrangement by the London Symphony Orchestra. It sounds delightful, and that is going to be a big hit, I have no doubt at all. All right then, what do we got for you? Well, we have 19, nearly 20 past nine. We have lots coming up between now and 10 o'clock. A big interview happening in a couple of minutes' time. I'll give you details of that shortly.